Welcome to the I Am Jen Wilson podcast. I am Jen Wilson, the Healing Rebel. And today I wanted to talk about and expand on the blog post that I did recently about the toxic messaging from the fitness and weight loss industry. The messaging very much is around drop a dress size in X amount of days, or lose X amount of pounds in X number of days. And they set these targets, these goals, these things that sound really achievable. They sound super easy to do. They sound super sexy. So they sell really well. They sell easily. People want the quick fix. People want the magic pill. People want what's easy, because that's what we've been conditioned to do. Complete tangent here. I was talking to my dad the other day about the price of things and how people expect to be paid a particular salary, but when it comes to paying for things, they don't want to pay what the value of the thing is worth. And there's a huge culture around that, around, you know, pound stretchers and pound land and everything for a pound and discounts and the sales. Like, I remember when I was growing up, you used to get the summer sale and the Boxing Day sales, and sales happened twice a year, and you either waited for those sales or you paid full price for it. There was no in between. And now our culture is everything's discounted, everything's on sale, everything is that instantaneous, there, got it eventually, gratification. And it's the same when it comes to our health, it's the same when it comes to our weight loss journeys. Now, the conversation I had about the weight loss stuff is one of my friends had posted, I keep seeing all these messages about drop a dress size and blah blah blah. And my friend has been on her own weight loss journey and worked really hard to lose weight, and is still on that journey where she's focusing on health and well-being and making sure that that's where she's directing her attention, because the crash dieting method is unsustainable. The super restrictive way that you can potentially achieve these results can harm your body, harms your mind, harms your metabolism, and isn't taking into account your health. It isn't taken into account your start point. It isn't taken into account what if somebody follows all these rules and still doesn't get the results because they have been crash dieting or doing these really harmful cyclical diets for decades. You know, the super restrictive calories and diet culture, weight loss culture, really started booming in the 80s. And that was, 20, 30 years after the introduction of highly processed, ultra-processed foods, convenience foods, microwave dinners. The TV dinner was what it was called in America, because it was before all the houses had microwaves. So it was just this tray of food that you stuck in the oven. Job done. Women were back out at work. Awesome. That's great. But then they were also still expected to feed their family. How can they do both? Well, let's just make things convenient. There's no judgment on that from a human perspective. There's a judgment on it from a business model perspective. Look at all these people that we can feed this super simple food, except the quality of the food is shite. The quality of food is toxic in our bodies, which then puts strain on the lymphatic system. And from a physiological perspective, if you have been following my podcast for a while, you will know I talk about the lymphatic system quite a lot. I talk about the importance of lymphatic drainage. But what happens in your body from a physiological standpoint is the lymphatic system is a sewage system mopping up all the crap that's to get taken out. If you're eating ultra-processed foods, you've got more toxins, more chemicals, more waste products that need to be flushed out. And if that's from breakfast, lunch and dinner, so if you're having cereal for breakfast or toast for breakfast, everything that you consume whether you would class it as good or bad. And I hate using good and bad for food. Food is food, but everything has waste products that need to be eliminated out. The more chemicals, the more artificial things that are in that food, the more waste has to be processed out. So if your lymphatic system is already processing all of this, and that's not even taken into consideration the skincare products that you're putting onto your body that are getting absorbed in, that's not taken into consideration the air pollution that's round about you, any aerosols that are being sprayed. Like our bodies are being absolutely bombarded with environmental toxins all the time. Can't get away from that. So what we can do to the best of our ability is note what we are nourishing ourselves with. The lymphatic system is working really hard to process all this stuff. But if you're not able to detox and eliminate efficiently, if you're not moving enough to keep the system moving, the only two things that move your lymphatic system are movement and breath. And if you're super stressed and you're chest breathing and your job is a desk job, so you're not moving around a lot, then these toxins are not getting processed, they're not getting eliminated. So what your body does is, oh, we've got a backup of toxins. What we're going to have to do to keep them away from the vital organs is surround them in fat. We're going to create a fat cell, keep those toxins locked in nice and tight, keep it safe, protect the body. And then there's another fat cell, and there's another fat cell. So you get this gradual build-up of fat cells, and we'll hold on to that until your body's ready to eliminate it. A lot of people who are overweight, when they start exercising, start to get colds and flus and these symptoms as they're starting to lose weight. And it's not that they are unwell, it's that the toxins starting to get shifted and moved and your body being able to let go of it. You have to be able to let go of those toxins for the fat cells to be able to be reduced down. So from a physiological standpoint, your body is doing a wonderful, incredible, life-saving thing by creating these fat cells to lock in these toxins. That's amazing. That's keeping you alive. So when you then start to lose some weight, start to move your body a bit more, start to reduce things down, the toxins can get released, your body can start to lose weight. If you are only focused on trying to lose weight, and this has been a problem for since I can remember, I was born in 79, so the 80s was, let's take fat out our diet, take animal fat. Well, we need to, saturated fat is the big bad thing. Problem with that was the studies, and this has now come out publicly in the media, that in the, I think it was in the 70s, there was a group of scientists that were paid off by the sugar industry to say that fat was bad and sugar was good. So that's why all the fat was removed from the diet and sugars were put in instead. So all the weight loss foods that were available, they were going to be super low calorie, blah blah blah. Then we realized that all this sugar was starting to create diabetes, and we were getting fatter, not thinner. So then they started removing all the sugars and putting in artificial sugars because you weren't getting the calories from the artificial sugars. And so this spiral has gone on since the 70s. So you started off 50s, artificial food was getting, or convenience food was getting brought in. Then gradually over the decades, artificial food was getting put in. If these diet plans were working, we wouldn't be having what they call as an obesity crisis. We wouldn't be getting fatter. We would either be maintaining weight or losing weight, and we're not. That's not what's happening in the world. What is happening on a physiological standpoint is your metabolism is being damaged. Now, if you've been a yo-yo dieter for most of your life, all of your life, all of your adult life, then these depletions of the calories being really super restrictive on your calories slows your metabolism down because your body's always trying to create this state of what they call homeostasis. So that's a balance where there's ebbs and flows, where we're creating this nice, safe environment for everything to work optimally. So if you're taking out the calories, the body goes, uh-oh, we're not getting enough energy coming in, let's slow everything down. So if you do that for a prolonged window of time, then your metabolism's slowing down. So you're hitting your calorie target. Maybe you start to lose some weight, but then you hit the wall. Oh, what's the next option? Or let's reduce calories more. You know, there was a big thing come out, was it last year, the year before, about doctors prescribing people on 800 calorie a day diets, which wasn't taken into account how were those calories being made up, what nutritional value was within all these calories. And I personally don't think that calorie counting is a good way to manage your health. Obviously, if you're eating too many calories and not moving enough, that really simple maths is going to be an impact on it. But if you have been a yo-yo dieter where you've gone on super restrictive and then gone back to eating normally and up and down and all over the place, your metabolism is not going to be working functionally. Your gut microbes are going to have been damaged, particularly if you're taking meal replacement shakes that are full of emulsifiers, if the calories that you are taking aren't real foods, if you're taking artificial sugars, if you're drinking diet juice, which have had all the sugars removed, so you've got the 0 calories, but it's a chemical shit storm. What is that doing in your body? We now know through the research, through the science that's allowed to be getting done, that these artificial sweeteners damage your gut microbiome. We now know that the damage to the gut microbiome has an impact going on through your health, through your well-being. It affects your mental health, it affects your physical health. We know now that the gut microbes, when they are doing their thing, one of the things that gets released is a chemical called butyrate, which helps create these really nice tight junctions on your gut lining. And when those junctions are saggy and loose, then particles are getting through into your bloodstream, which is where you get autoimmunity from. Sometimes it's referred to in some circles as a leaky gut, other circles, it's like the medical profession more recognise it as increased gut permeability. It is now recognised within the Western medicine model. I don't know how much it's recognized, but I definitely have heard doctors talking about, is it a real thing? And it definitely is a real thing, and it is definitely contributes to people's health outcomes being negative. So when people are holding excess fat in their bodies, not only is the body doing this wonderful thing where it's locking in all these toxins to keep them safe, but but it's also then inflamed, the body is inflamed, that then is driving more negative health outcomes. Now, when I embarked into my health and well-being journey, and I wrote about this in the blog, it was back in 2002. I had gone out to Greece to work for the summer, and I came back quite a bit chubbier than I had gone out because I drank a lot. Alcohol increases gut permeability. Those toxins get into the system. The system needs to coat them in fat, needs to store them in fat. And when I came back from Greece, I'd always been very slender. And when I came back from Greece, the number of people that commented on my weight was what was the trigger to get me to go and do something. Now, in 2023, that would be seriously frowned upon because you're not allowed to comment on people's weight. But people were like, wow, Jen, did you eat a whole person? Like these kind of comments, or that's some gut that you've got on you there. These comments were made to me that I went, oh, I need to do something about this. And at that time, 2002, we didn't have the internet the way we do now for the education to be there. I was relying on women's health magazines, which there was only one at the time. And the information that was there was very, I now know, was very contradictory. One page was telling you one thing. If you went further into the magazine, it was telling you something else. And it was all about creating these really restrictive diets and exercising more. That's what I started to do. I cut right down on food intake, alcohol intake, joined the gym, started exercising. Now that part of the journey took me to where I am right now. There was a benefit to it, but before I got to that benefit, I did some very harmful things to myself. I did some very negative things, and this part of my journey isn't something that I talk about, I don't think ever or very often, that I got to the point where I was really controlling and restricting so much. So in my blog, I talk about I used to eat a slice of wheat germ toast, which was all this used to do, like a wee half loaf, and there was only 71 calories in a slice of bread. I still know that information. I had that with a very thin scraping of peanut butter and a green tea with lemon because I'd read in one of these health magazine, this health magazine, that green tea was really good for burning fat. Awesome, I'm going to drink that. That was my breakfast. My lunch was a cup of soup because there was very few calories in it. And my dinner would be 50 grams of pasta with a tomato-based sauce because it was very low in calories. Now, a serve of pasta is about 80 to 100 grams. And then my snacks throughout the day, and I weighed this out, everything was weighed out, was 20 grams of raisins or sultanas, 20 grams of peanuts, and 10 almonds. And that was my average meal for the day. Then you don't have enough energy. And I don't think I actually mentioned this in the blog post, but then I would binge. I would get to the weekend and I'd be, oh my God, I'm starving. And I would sit and eat a whole big bag of sensations and then feel really sick after I'd eaten it, wonder why. Or I would go to a vending machine and I'd buy a bag of crisps and a bar of chocolate and whatever else. And I'd be secretly eating these things and going to the gym to do exercise. And at one point, I was doing like an hour on the cross trainer, counting the calories. And over the years, this went on for. Then the internet started creating websites where you could count your calories. And I lived in Australia at the time, and I think it was in Australia before it was in the UK, these websites. But it was the calorieking.au, and you could put in everything that you had eaten and all the exercise that you had done to work out where you were. And my mission when I was doing this, now keep in mind this was 2000, by now, this was 2000 and 2008. My mission at that time was to make sure that I was always in a negative. So, how many calories I had eaten had to be less than how many calories I had burned, so that I was in the red because I was trying to get smaller, I was trying to get thinner. At that point, I had scales in the house, so I was weighing myself every day. I was 60 kilos, and I'm currently about 70 kilos. What I was noticing then was if I went under 60 kilos, I would get a cold or I wouldn't be very well. I would be getting what I now know was run down. But there was always that I need to get that kilo down. Why is this not working anymore? I'm eating less calories than I'm burning. This should be working. This should be working. So at the gym I was a member of, there was a nutritionist who was doing biometric testing so that obviously, for her to sell her services, she was come in, get free biometric testing done. So they would weigh you, they put the electrodes on you to tell you how much body fat you had. This machine that she had also in those days talked about inflammation, which I'll get into in a minute. So she did my biometric reading. I had low body fat, I had low BMI, I had a low weight. My hydration was good. My inflammation was high. So her suggestion, she was a nutritionist, her suggestion was that I went on a detox. This was the first time I'd ever done anything like this. We'll put you on a detox, so we'll clean out. That'll help reduce that inflammation down. So we took out gluten, we took out dairy, we took out sugar. She gave me a meal replacement shake, essentially, to take along with a bunch of supplements. Cost me about $400 to do over the month. I was also to do a couple of cleanses using aloe vera, where I had to drink a pint of aloe vera, followed by 2 or 3 pints of water to do that at night time. And then the theory was by the morning, I would have a bowel cleanse. Trying to drink aloe vera, a pint of it, that is, if anybody's ever tasted aloe vera, it's hard, man. It was very bitter and absolutely disgusting. But anyway, I did it next morning. No bowel movement. There was no clearing out. Like I had normal bowel movement. I just didn't have. She was like, make sure that when you do this, you can be near a toilet for the day because this is going to be a big cleanse out. So she'd phoned me to see how that went, and I was like, nothing's happened. There's been no super cleanse. Okay, right. I'm going to get you to do that again. Repeat that process again. Take this because this was at the end of the 4 week detox. Did it again the next night, nothing happened. Right, okay, we're going to need to try some Epsom salts. So did the Epsom salts, and there was a lot, and I think I, whatever it was she had said to me to take the Epsom salts, I was like, this is clearly not working. I'm going to double the dose because uneducated about any of this stuff. Let's just see what happens. So I did the double dose of the Epsom salts, and I had a bit of water come out, but still no massive boost, massive cleanse. She got me back in, did all the biometric testing. By this point, I was down to 56 kilos. So I'd lost 4 kilos over that 4 weeks. But the inflammation markers were still shown as high. So her suggestion then was there's a naturopathic doctor here. I've done everything I can do. We've done that full detox. You should go and see the naturopathic doctor. But what you'll need to do is go to your doctor, your GP doctor, and ask them to run a blood panel to get the blood tests so that you can show her what these blood tests are to see where this inflammation is coming from. Now, when I went to the doctor, keeping in mind this was to 2007, and I said to the doctor about this inflammation, and the doctor looked at me and went, "What's inflamed?" Like at that point, there wasn't the understanding and knowledge about inflammation and cellular inflammation that we now have within the Western medicine model. It was known in the alternative medicine. This always seems, I always look to what is functional medicine and naturopathic medicine and the alternative spectrums. What are they looking at? What are they talking at? Because it takes about 17 years for that information to filter from we think this is a thing for it to actually become a thing. Like I was learning about leaky gut back in 2009. It's 2023. Doctors now are only going, oh, this increased permeability is more becoming commonly talked about. So it takes a long time to get from one theory, one, this is what we think, this is what we are working on in healing to get to mainstream. Now, in 2007, I still strongly put my faith in mainstream. I didn't really know about this alternative space. I didn't know what I know now because I just, you don't know what you don't know until you know what you don't know. So 2007, I go to the doctor and say, I want these bloods done because I want to go and see this naturopathic doctor and she wants the blood tests. They did a biometric thing and it says that I've got inflammation. And he was like, oh, what's inflamed? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Don't know what you're talking about. But he ran the blood panel for me anyway. And all the bloods were in, quote unquote, normal ranges. Now, because he had planted this seed of doubt in my mind, and I knew that this naturopathic doctor was going to cost me money because it was all being done privately. That seed of doubt made me go, oh, maybe this is bullshit. I'm not gonna do this. I trust my doctor. 2023, I now question, should have I gone to that naturopathic doctor and would I not be in this space that I'm in now? Would I have learned more? I don't know. Can't reverse time, can't go into that parallel universe to find out what would happen. But it was super interesting for me, but I was still focused on the number on the scales. I still wasn't interested in health. I now know that that inflammation was a sign from my body saying something's not right here. I was under eating and over exercising and desperately trying to get to that next size down. And all the magazines were telling me that eat the chilies, drink the green tea, drink ice cold water. And that will help you burn fat because it will boost your thermogenic, blah, blah, blah. These things are so minutely impactful that they are a waste of time. Like there is no, it's like 0.00000% increase in your thermogenic thing that's going to maybe burn one extra calorie. Like we know this now. But I'm thinking the messaging from 2000. And two when I started this, 2007, and then we're now sitting at 2023 with all the information that we now know about inflammation, all the information that we know about crash diets and restrictive diets and all these lifestyle practices. We are now nationally fatter than we have ever been. People who are living with obesity are sitting going, I followed all the diets, I've done all the stuff. How is this possible? How can I be bigger? But the metabolism has been getting damaged. The gut health has been getting damaged. We need to start working on repairing that. We need to work on getting the lymphatic system working better so that it can start to flush out. We need to move more so that our bodies can naturally forget about the calories, get the body functioning, get the body doing what it's built for. It's built for movement. We wouldn't have all these joints that can do these wonderful things if we were meant to be sitting on our arses on a typewriter. Oh my God. On a keyboard. On our phones, watching Netflix, being sedentary. If our bodies were meant for that, we wouldn't have all these movable joints. We wouldn't have all these systems that need to be moved to work functionally. So yeah, I get the ick at particularly at this time of year when I see all this messaging around the new year, new you, new body, crash dieting, drop a dress size, blah blah blah. How about we start working on your health, make health your focus? Weight loss might be a byproduct. We're all different shapes and sizes. If you don't drop that dress size, if you don't lose whatever unattainable number of pounds and whatever unattainable number of days, how does that make you feel? It makes you feel like shit, probably. You feel like a failure because you didn't hit the goal, even if you followed every single step to the detail, because this is a cookie cutter program for, and it will work for some people, and those people will be able to shout about it on social media. Those people that it didn't work for are not shouting about it on social media saying this plan didn't work for me, because they're probably feeling ashamed. They're probably feeling guilty. Maybe they took a few wee cuts here and there on the plan because it was really unsustainable, and they feel guilty about that, so therefore they didn't hit the goal, so then it's all their fault. You and I have heard coaches point the finger of blame. You didn't follow this to the letter. No, that coach hasn't taken into consideration your dieting history. That coach hasn't taken into consideration your height, your bone structure, your constitution. So in when I'm teaching in the Healing Rebel Mastery, one of the things I get you to do is to do my online quiz, which is free and available for everybody to do, and you get a health report to come with that, and we talk about the different body types. So in Ayurveda, it's Pitta, Vata, and Kapha. In my plan, it's Pitta is fire, Vata is wind, Kapha is earth. Now, if you're somebody with a Kapha type body, you're going to be softer around the edges. Your constitution is to be soft and cuddly. It's not to be athletic. It's not to be super thin. You are powerful. You will be strong. People with that Kapha kind of constitution are really good at powerlifting. They're really good at lifting heavy shit and moving heavy shit. People who are Vata are tall and lean, and they're very good at endurance and long, lengthy things. And people who are fire are strong and sturdy, and they are a little bit of power and a little bit of endurance. They're much better at the sort of HIIT type workouts to burn off the energy quite quickly. So knowing these different, and then in the fitness world, you might hear people talking about the endomorph, ectomorph, mesomorph. These are the same three body types. Now, we're all made up of a combination of these, but you might be more one than the other. So there are certain foods in each of these categories that are more beneficial to you or more damaging to you. Your digestive fire is going to be impacted in this. So being able to nourish and nurture your digestive fire. If you eat food and feel sluggish all the time, or you experience gas and bloating, then your digestive fire is not sufficient. If food runs through you and you just are hungry all the time, nothing satisfies you, then your digestive fire is too intense, it's too high. So having this information is vitally important, along with the gut microbes and everything else. So I would always start at your digestion. What are you eating? What season of the year is it? So if you're eating cold yogurts for breakfast in the winter, the cold yogurt is creating dampness in your body. The air, the atmosphere, the season that we're in is creating dampness in your body. And if you already have a damp constitution, that yogurt is going to make you feel like shit. It might be low calorie, it might have microbes in it, but it might not be the right thing for your body. You might need something that's a bit more warming, it's a bit more nourishing, it's going to help stimulate that fire. You might need some digestive bitters before you eat. You might be, if you're already of that fire constitution, that yogurt might be the perfect thing for you to have for your breakfast, even in the winter, depending on how your body is operating. So, you know, calories in, calories out is lovely. Dead simple. But if it's not working for you, there's a good chance that metabolism has slowed right down and that you have to eat like an apple a day for you to be able to get to that point of losing weight, and that's not healthy. So how about we change our focus? We bring our focus into, God, I feel like a pure ranty there. How about we bring our focus into our health? What makes us feel good? What makes us feel energized? What makes us feel vibrant? Where are we starting from right now? If you want to do that quiz, go to my website and go to the free, I think it's free courses, it's called the tab, and you'll see the Rebel quiz, or you can go to iamjenmilson.com/Rebel quiz, and that will take you straight there, and it will tell you whether which of the three body types you are. It'll also tell you which of the three mind types you are, and if you put your email address in, it will then send you out the health report so that you can see, learn more all about these three body types and how they can work for you and how to nourish yourself through the seasons. Or you could join the Healing Rebel Mastery and we can deal with that there. So thank you very much for listening to my rant, because I feel like that's what it was. I don't think I went off on too many tangents, so yay me, stay focused most of the way through. If you have listened to this and thought, shit, such and such, Josie needs to hear this, or Mark needs to hear this, or Jim Bobbly Boo, whoever needs to hear this, please share on to them so that they can hear this, they can learn, and it might make a difference. It might stop you from buying another shit program that's not going to work for you. We need the focus to be on health. That needs to be the priority. And yes, it will mean that the results might come slower, but you will feel better and you will be able to sustain those lifestyle changes. And I am all about tweaking what you're already doing rather than trying to do a full overhaul. And the Ayurvedic approach, if you do a full overhaul, you're going to cause as much disruption as if you stay where you are, energetically, emotionally, physically. So slow and steady does win the race. This is where the small steps are going to be so much more beneficial. I'd love to have you on this journey with me. And I am glad to say that there are other coaches out there that are beating this same drum. It's not just me being the lone voice. There are other coaches out there. So you might not resonate with me. There are other coaches. If you have like very specific things that you want to work on, feel free to reach out to me if you don't feel like I am the right coach for you, but I might be able to point you in the direction of somebody else. I have very good connections with people who do have this same kind of focus and that will teach you about listening to your body, but they'll do it in a different way and that's totally fine. So reach out if you need any help. Share this message far and wide. Let's stop with the nonsense of trying to achieve the unattainable in the shortest window of time. As sexy as it sounds, it doesn't work. Because if it did work, it would have worked in the 70s. It would have worked in the 80s. It would have worked in the 90s. You get my gist. I don't need to go through all the decades. So let's have 2024 as your healthiest year ever.